Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Bailey, Minister of Trust of the Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation, United Baptist Fairville. In the organization, today is May 21, 2025, or the 25th day of this. At 29, we will start our first service today. There's a two timely greetings, Vicki Hollis, number 11, entitled The Way the Kingdom is to Come. Okay. If you were touched for prayer, we shall continue our reading from the Isaiah's Object Lesson, page 44, the last paragraph. As the birds are ready to catch up the seed from the wayside, so Satan is ready to catch away the seed of the divine truth from the soul. For it prays that the word of Yahweh may awaken the trellis and take effect upon the burdened heart. Satan and his angels are in the assembly where the gospel is preached, while angels of the heaven endeavor to impress hearts with the word of Yahweh. The enemy is on the alert for the making of the word of no effect, with an earnestness equaled only by his miracle. He tries to thwart the work of the Spirit of Yahweh. Father Yahshua is drawing his soul by his love. Satan tries to turn away the attention of the one who is moved to seek the Savior. He engages the mind with the world of skin. He excites criticism or insinuates doubt and unbelief. The speaker's choice of the language or his manner may not please the hearers, and they dwell upon these defects of the truth they need, and which Yahweh has graciously sent them, makes no lasting impression. What do we need to pray for this afternoon? That the angels may be around us, so that the enemy will not have an opportunity for the catching away of the seeds of the divine truth, that we keep our minds completely centered upon Yeshua and his kingdom, so there shall be no loopholes for the evil one to gain an entrance and thus beguile us into sin. The way the kingdom is to come. Title of our sermon. October 11, 1947, Vicki Hollis. For the Jews had built up an erroneous conception of what the kingdom was to be and how and when it was to come. And so when the Yahshua exposed their misconception, they became indignant. They were very angry, not because the kingdom that the Savior disclosed was not much more bountiful and practical than they had ever conceived, but because their errors were exposed. Thus the heaven's favored people, the Jews, power error upon error, and brought upon themselves shame and disaster. Should the Christian's idea of the Kennedy somewhat erroneous also, and should we fail to profit by the mistakes of the Jews, then our fall would be even greater than that of the Jews. Let us therefore lay aside any preconceived ideas we may have, and accept Yahshua's revealed truth, which brings us his idea of the kingdom fresh today. Matthew 13:24-26. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, that the kingdom of the heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. For the presenting of the tares, which grow higher and sturdier than the wheat, Satan espied, and by them fabricates erroneous theories concerning Yahweh's plan. For the tares, according unto the parable, so closely resemble the wheat that they cannot be discovered except after they bear fruit. That is, they can be discerned only by the final results brought forth by their works. And what can these results be? What else? From the idea that are not heavily inspired, may you expect in the church that selfishness, egotism, bigotry, worldliness, prejudice, hatred against reproof, and light on their evil deeds is it not been their aim to exalt themselves than to exalt Yahshua and the truth? Was this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incompetent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, healthy, high-minded, lovers of the pleasures, more than lovers of Yahweh, having a form of righteousness, but denying the power thereof, from such turnaway, for of this sort are they which creep in the houses and lead the captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with the far dark, ever learned and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 3 Timothy 3:1-7. Matthew 13:27-30. So the servant of the household came and said unto him, Sir, not that thou sow good seed in the field, from whence then as a tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and get them up? And he said, nay, that's wrong. You gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them, that both go together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say unto the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Here we see that even the idea of the most faithful servants of Yahweh are as for the setting up of his kingdom and for the weeding out of the tares are not as the same as Yahweh's plan. For this clean work belongs only unto the angels of the heaven. And this they will do in the time of the harvest after being commanded to do so, not before. In this parable, we are also told that the spiritual harvest is a time, not of a monetary work, and that it brings the end of the world, just as naturally as the year's harvest brings the end of the summer. Thus you see, the separation of the wheat and tares takes place in the last days and in the two different places. First in the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17, Matthew 13:47-48, then in Babylon, Revelation 18:2-8, in the former, the tares are taken from among Yahweh's people, but in the latter, Yahweh's people are taken out from among the tares, from the habitation of the devils, of the foul spirits, of the unclean and the hateful birds. There are two fears also. The first are from the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, Revelation 7:2-8, the church, and the city from all nations, Revelation 7:9, Matthew 13:31-32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of the mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. For the mustard seed, being the smallest of all seeds, this parable shows that that which is the start of the kingdom will be very insignificant, contrary unto all the human expectation. Nevertheless, like the mustard plant becomes the biggest of all herbs, so the kingdom shall grow and become the greatest of all kingdoms. This being contrary unto all human planning, it is but natural that those who are like the Nicodemus and continue to be ashamed should be identified with something that is unpopular, hated, and insignificant, will as a result be left out of the kingdom, Matthew 13:33. Another parable spake he unto them, for the kingdom of the heaven is like unto heaven, 11. That a woman took and hid in the three measures of the meal till the whole was leavened. For the kingdom is here again showed to start with the something small, but that little thing is to be like yeast in a loaf of bread. What could the leaven be but an unpopular message, born by some insignificant one and put into the church the loaf? Well, the leaven is in the dough now. Just watch it leaven the whole. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of the heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, with which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has, and buyeth that field. Those who will gain entrance into the kingdom are here represented as searchers of the great treasure. And when he finds its location, the field, they are very eager to make it their own, for they are certain of its worth and count it not a risk to sell all they possess, whether much or little, for the obtaining of the kingdom. What they sell is not only land or houses, but anything which is not disposed of would keep them out of the kingdom. They are certain that they are making a great investment, that they are to get much more out of it than they put into it. On the other hand, those who are foolish, who do not know the value of it, feel they dare not make the investment, and consequently will be the loser. Matthew 13:45-46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearl, who, when he had found one pearl of a great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Those who are to inherit the kingdom are here again represented as searching for a very valuable jewel, the kingdom truth. That's what they're searching for, the kingdom truth. And when they find it, they count it not a gamble to sell all they have in order to make it their own. They know that they are getting a bargain, that such an investment will actually make them rich. Both the man who bought the field containing a great treasure and the man who bought the pearl at a great price sold everything they had in order to close the respective deal. But even though it took everything they had, they both did have enough to buy what they wanted. So it is that it matters not who we are, how rich or how poor we be, if we make up our mind to sell all and buy the kingdom, we will have just enough to buy it. Matthew 13:47-48. Again, the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea, and gathered at every time, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and sat down, and gathered the good into vessel, and cast the bad away. For the net must represent the truth, the message of the kingdom. and it is cast into the sea, published and sent out. It is bound to catch good and bad, but when the net is drawn to shore, the bad are then cast out from among the good, and the good are put into vessels, into their kingdom. Hence, merely because one is attracted by the mighty truth, does not mean he is saved. This chance of staying forever with the truth depends on his meeting the Yeshua's expectations of him. Matthew 13:52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe that is instructed unto the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Here the master plainly points out that the Yahweh's messengers of the kingdom bring out of the word things both old and new, things that are known and things that are unknown unto them. Thus it has ever been in the unrolling of the scroll, and thus it must be now. Luke 14:16-17. Then said he unto him, a certain rich man, or certain man, made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. In this parable, it is made known that in the closing hours of the probationary time, at the supper time, about the end of the day, heaven is to send a message unto them that are bidden, unto them that already know the gospel of the Yahshua. Now, what is the gospel of Yahshua? They know the teaching of the plan of salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, unto the members of the church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. For the servant is to inform them that everything is now ready, that they should now come in for the great and long-expected supper, a supper which they are to eat in the master's mansion, in the kingdom, not in their own Gilead Center in 2002, its connotation. This metaphor film, what I just said, this terrible metaphor film, the crazy counter had been restored by Brother Shanti. He had published it and taught Yahweh's government from it for 33 and a half years. And because he didn't come to full righteousness and teach his congregation and his members of his family to how to become fully righteous, then Yahweh prepared to take it away from him. And Yahshua did come, the son of Yahweh, and took it away from brothers. And he gave it to his successor, Elijah David, or Dayton Drunken. Talking to you right now. And so was fulfilled this prophecy, it says, about the great shepherd. And I got something else. Yahshua said, are there not 12 hours in a day? You have to have 12 full hours before the day is over. And you can't have 11 and call it 12. So when the 12th hour starts drawing to a close, and that's the end of the day, period. Well, the next hour, which is still all over counting with one again, the night time is here, and you don't count it 1 through 12 at night. You count 3 all-night watches. You count the watches. You count it from 1 to 3, 4 to 7, through 6, 4, 5, 6, and then you 7, 8, 9, and then the last 3-hour segment is 10, 11, 12. And then the sun comes up, you start counting the hours of the day again, 1 through 12. You don't have such a thing as a 13th or a 14th or a 15th hour. So when the 12th hour is over in the daytime, that's the end of the day, and that's the end of probation for this earth's history, when the 6,000 years is up. 18 to 20. And they all with one accord began to make excuse. For the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of the oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Those who mentioned did not excuse themselves from accepting the teaching of the plan of salvation through the brother everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10, 19 and 20, as the new and living way of the New Testament, which they, for short, call it the Gospel of the Yahshua. That they excuse themselves from going into the Master's mansion, from taking their seats at his table. Yes, according unto the parable, those who had the money to buy land, oxen, and houses, also to marry at the time, the last call for the supper time, all excuse themselves with the one's intent. But the poor and afflicted, those who were in the street and in the land, so to speak, who had nothing much of their own and were in the need of everything, were glad to go in for the supper. This is very natural. Those who are satisfied with what the world gives do not care to get out of it. Here you see why it is easier for a camel than it is for a rich person to get through the needle's eye. That's in 1924. Those whose only difficulty is in the trying to get richer, those who are deeply engrossed with this world's goods, cannot take time to eat of the Master's Supper. There befits the age old sin, almost saved, but entirely lost. Here is liberty sin, that to accept one truth, but to reject the next, profits one nothing. For the last call for the individual is what counts the most. At the time when the new truths have been introduced, the millions let's read that again. At the times when the new truths have been introduced, millions have lost their their lives, their owners. Let's do that again. At the times when the new truth has been introduced, is with the millions have lost out only because they were too well satisfied with what they had, for they saw need of nothing better, or else they were too proud to accept the unpopular truth from one of Yahweh's own appointed messengers. Thus it is that when Yahweh sends a message, rather than it being unto them a step upward toward the salvation, it has been and still is unto me as a step downward toward the damnation. To this end was the prophet instructed, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. Luke 14:22-23. And the servant said, Yahweh, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And Yahweh said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Okay, it says, the fact that in the city were those who had already been bidden when the last call for the supper came under them proved that the city represents the church. To them was the servant first sent. Okay, so he was first sent to the city. The highways and the hedges thereof where the servant next went represents the world far and wide aside from the church, but the mouth an important and very sad part to remember is this parable. In this parable is that which is told in the verse that follows, Luke 14:24. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. This is what happened as soon as they excused themselves. Salvation comes for them, for they need no other chance of the patience. For they had no other chance of the tasting of the supper. And probation nevertheless remained open for those who had not yet been invited. Those who were in the highways and hedges could yet be saved. For the church seemed too well versed as until the time probation closed for the world, but not at all informed that probation for the members poses at the very time they reject the heaven-sent message. Here is shown why the five foolish virgins found the door closed, though they had later obtained the oil and gotten to the door. Their probation had closed when they failed at the first opportunity to fill their vessels with the extra oil and extra nuts. Matthew 25:1-8. Then while the unfaithful servant has been set asunder, Matthew 24:51, shall the kingdom of the heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamp and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all trumpeted and slept. And at midnight there was a cry and said, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out and meet him. Then all of these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Here is the truth. Let's do that again. For here is the present truth that should not be lightly passed over by any. For the all only represents the revealed prophetic truth. For the truth as well that lightens the path ahead. For the oil in a vessel before being put into a lamp, however, cannot lighten the path of anyone. Hence the oil in the vessel of the 5 virgins must represent an extra supply, extra truth, that came unto them during the period of the slumber and sleep. For when the call was made, before the bridegroom cometh, all 10 virgins found the oil in their lamps consumed. For the vessels of their wives, however, were full, and so they could refill their lamps. In the contrast, the foolish found that not only were their lamps out, but their vessels were empty too, for they then went for the obtaining of the oil, but it did them no good, for they found the door closed unto them. They had been satisfied with what they had in their lamps, presuming that there were no need for more. Contrary unto their assumption, though, during the period of the slumber and sleep, they suddenly saw their lamps go out, finding themselves in the spiritual darkness and confusion. They were then anxious to get the oil. Here it is seen that the message that the church has during the period of the slumber and sleep is not sufficient for the turning her members through unto the end. For they need an extra oil. Okay. Let's read that last paragraph again. Here is seen that the message that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has during the period of the slumber, found of the 3 angelic messages only, not the 5, during the judgment of the dead period, and sleep is not sufficient for the tearing her members through unto the end. Alright. So when the judgment of the dead was over in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, that was the end of the 3 angels' messenger. and the end of the Seventh-day Adventist Church time period for the promoting of the 300th message. That was the end for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but it was the beginning for the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist Church, is who we are, the Kingdom of David, the House of David. So Richie Howard talks that the Shepherd God was the Davidians, he's right. But the time for the kingdom of the Davidians to possess the kingdom was not in Richie Howard's day. The time came when they became purified at the end of Judgment of the Dead in 2003, and that's who we are. We're the true branch Davidian, because we add the word branch to Davidian, whereas the Shepherd Rod only added the name Davidian. But when they became purified, they called it the branch Davidian. That's who we are. Okay. Now, what is the difference between the oil in the lamp and the oil in the vessel? Just this. The oil that is in the lamp that already lightens the traveler's path toward the master's mansion must represent the present truth and the progress. Really, only the oil in the vessel must represent present truth, that is, for the lightening of the one's path after the former present truth has accomplished its work. For example, after the harvest, investigative judgment of the dead is passed, other truths, even more important, must be introduced for the harvest of the living. This is what I'm telling you. I say more important truths because they are concerning the living themselves, concerning those whose own cases are to be weighed in the balances, those who personally are to be judged, either as free or as terror, either as good fish or as bad fish. Moreover, after the judgment of the dead, which the Yeshua has been preaching for a number of years, is over, when the church does not then receive a new message, the message of the judgment of the living, she will have no message, no oil for the time of the judgment of the living. As the oil was available unto all 10 virgins, the parable makes clear that the message of the judgment of the living is brought to the church, but that only half the virgins avail themselves of it. When the judgment of the living begins, and a cry is made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him, they will all arrive, but only half of them will gain advantage, for the other half will have sinned against the Holy Spirit, will have rejected his truth. Consequently, when they knock on the door, the bridegroom's answer will be, I never knew you. What foolishness, and what a disappointment that will be. This, you see, is not the man's theory, brother, sister. It is Yahweh's plain truth. How sad the case then, for those who are not only neglecting their own vessel, but are even preventing others from getting the extra oil, now while it is dispensed unto all. Indeed, there shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth, unless all the lukewarm led of sin, now at the first opportunity, change their minds about being rich and increased with the good and in the need of nothing. Matthew 25:14-30. It says, "For the kingdom of the heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave the 5 talents, unto another 2, and to another 1, to every man according unto his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And as he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Master, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His master said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy master. For he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Master, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His master said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy master. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. And here, there, lo, there thou hast that is thine. His master answered and said, unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, and thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not sowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchange, and then at my coming I should have received my own with you. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. For the talents in this parable represent Yahshua's goods, his timely messages for the people. Each of his servants is here represented as being given a certain amount of responsibility, but not beyond their ability. From this parable, we see that any service which does not measure up 100% to capacity that their talent is not acceptable unto Yahweh. Half-hearted service is not service at all, but only a great waste. Matthew 25:31-40. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the kingdom say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in the prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Master, when shall we be hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When shall we thus a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Here is pointed out that the self-centered person will never enter the kingdom of the Yahweh. Only those who are endeavoring to do something for others, and especially for those who are of the household of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20 of the New and Living Way, will ever enter and do the joy of their master, not sure. Most certainly, this coming of the Yahshua mentioned in these verses is not the one in which the saints meet him in the air, but it certainly is the one in which he meets them in the judgment on the earth. The judgment of the living. He sits on the throne of his glory, on the throne of his church, his kingdom, and from there he judges and separates the whole world. Some he faces to his right and some to his left. Let us now review the separation of the church according unto the Revelation, chapter 3, verse 14-16. And unto the angel of the church of the latter saints write, this saint says, Amen. Let's go and read that again. And unto the angel, Brother Stephen Johnson, of Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, 2002, at the Passover, of the Church of the Latter Saints, the Seventh-day Adventists, and the Third Feeding Pastor, Gilead Center, 2002, writes these things, says the Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of the Father Yahweh. For Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, is the beginning of his Father's creation. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would if thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit thee out of my mouth. for the angel, the minister, or the prophet of the candlestick. Brother Stevie Johnson in Kermit, Texas, he was in charge of the seventh candlestick that is mentioned there in Revelation chapter 1 and 2. Leadership. Brother Johnson, my minister for 33 and a half years, from 1970 to 2003, Brother Stevie Johnson, he was this angel. Present truth, as the one that has changed, has charge of the Seventh-day Adventist Church as a whole, cannot represent any class but the ministry of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the servants, those who are satisfied, lukewarm, who feel no need of anything, no need of an additional mission for the judgment of the living, such will he spew out unless they repent. This verse, you see, represents the cleansing of this temple. Now we turn unto Malachi. Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahshua the Lord. This verse introduces two persons, Yahshua and his messenger. In the language of today, these verses would read as follows. Behold, I will send my messenger, even the messenger of the covenant. What covenant? The blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10. And he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom you seek, and in whom you delight, shall suddenly come to this temple. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahshua the host. Malachi 3:2-4. That which may abide the day of his coming, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as the gold and silver, that they may offer unto Yahshua an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of the Judah and Jerusalem be present unto the Yahshua, as in the days of old and as in the former years. Plainly these verses foretell that the Yahshua is the sin, the Elijah, the prophet, before the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, the Father, before the judgment of the living members of his church began, before the separating of the tares from the great and the weak. I'm going to go back and reread that. Plainly, these verses foretell that the Yahshua, Son of the Yahweh, right here from earth, right here, he's already here on earth, at Matthew 25:31-32, Yahshua is already here, sitting upon his throne, separating the nations. Yahshua is the sin, the Elijah the prophet. Where is Elijah the prophet at? He's waiting in the purified church for Yahshua to come and give him his ministry. He's going to send Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, before the judgment of the living members of the Seventh-day Adventist church begins, before the separation of the tares from the wheat, the bad fish from the good. Then he purifies the sons of the Levi, that's your priesthood, 144,000, as the ministry, with the ministry, purifies them with the ministry. For Yahweh assures us that before this work begins, he will send his messenger, Elijah, the prophet, the messenger of the promise, Elijah the prophet, Revelation 18:1-4. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from the heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of the devil, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the church of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. And I heard another voice in heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sin, and that she receive not of her flesh. These verses illustrate the separation that takes place in the so-called Christian world. It marks that the angel proclaims the fall of the Babylon in the time of the angel's loud cry. That's the fifth angel, Revelation 18, in the time that the earth is lightened with the glory of the fifth angel, Revelation 18, right, that it is that the Yahweh's people are actually called to come out of Babylon. They're called to come out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church at the same time, which is actually Babylon today. Moreover, for Yahweh to call his people out of Babylon on account of their sin means that he must bring them into a place where there are no sins. And to his purified church, his kingdom, the place that is free from sin and that is not in danger of the plague, plainly then the purification of the church first takes place. And then are the rest of his people called out of the Babylon. Remember now, this is the way in which the kingdom is to come. Therefore, we are to give the more earnest heed unto the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angel were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received as just recompense as a reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And that is in Hebrews chapter 2:1-3. This brings in rest of this hour contest is the 11th hour call. That's number 11, click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.